Good morning. It's May 9th, and this is your daily brief in U.S. news. Here's everything you need to know. In a striking turn of events, President Biden has issued a stark warning to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, signaling a potential shift in U.S.-Israeli relations over military actions in Rafah. This development comes amidst growing concerns over civilian safety and the use of American-supplied weaponry in conflict zones. During a candid interview with CNN's Aaron Burnett, President Biden did not mince words, threatening to cut off the supply of offensive weapons to Israel if there's a significant invasion into Rafah. This bold stance is underscored by the U.S.'s recent action to withhold a shipment of ammunition to the Israeli military, a direct response to operations in Rafah that have raised eyebrows internationally. Acknowledging the grim reality, President Biden admitted that U.S. weapons have contributed to civilian casualties in Gaza, a confession that brings the issue of civilian safety in Rafah into sharp focus. In alignment with this concern, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin confirmed the suspension of a munition delivery to Israel, advocating for the necessity of smaller, more precise weapons in densely populated areas to mitigate civilian harm. Despite these restrictions, the U.S. commitment to Israel's defense remains unwavering. The government assures continued support for Israel's military needs, including the pivotal Iron Dome missile defense system, reinforcing the bilateral commitment to security while navigating the complexities of modern warfare. President Biden's emphasis on the importance of civilian protection and the call for a just resolution to the situation in Rafah mark a significant moment. This stance not only highlights the ethical considerations at play, but also the delicate balance of international diplomacy and the ongoing quest for peace in highly volatile regions. In a turn of events that's captured national attention, the hush money trial of former U.S. President Donald Trump has resumed in Manhattan, with adult film star Stormy Daniels taking the stand. This case delves into allegations surrounding Trump's interactions with Daniels in 2006 and examines the intricacies of financial and legal conduct during his presidential campaign. The spotlight shines on Daniels as she recounts her alleged encounters with Trump, though her testimony has sparked debates over its consistency and potential impact on the trial's fairness. Amidst these developments, Trump stands firm, pleading not guilty to accusations of financial wrongdoing and vehemently denying the affair. The crux of the trial scrutinizes whether Trump falsified business records and misused campaign funds for reimbursements. The credibility of witnesses, including David Pecker and Michael Cohen, is also under intense examination, raising questions about the reliability of their accounts. Complicating matters further, Trump faces a $1,000 fine for violating a gag order, while his lawyer, Alina Habba, could confront professional discipline for challenging the credibility of a witness. The judge is contemplating an investigation into whether there was coordination between Trump and Habba, adding another layer of intrigue to the proceedings. As the trial unfolds over the coming weeks, all eyes are on the courtroom, awaiting a verdict that's expected by mid-June. The outcome of this high-profile case could have far-reaching implications, not just for Trump, but for the broader landscape of American politics and legal accountability. Severe storms and tornadoes have left a trail of destruction across the Midwest and Middle Tennessee, bringing an unprecedented state of emergency to Michigan and affecting states from Indiana to Ohio and cities from Illinois to Nashville. This widespread natural disaster has prompted a significant response from local and state authorities, including Michigan's first ever state of emergency declaration due to tornadoes by Governor Gretchen Whitmer, highlighting the severity of the situation. In Kalamazoo County, Michigan, the impact of these severe weather events has been particularly devastating, with at least 20 people injured and significant damage reported to 176 homes, a FedEx facility, and other buildings. The destruction didn't spare St. Clair County's Colony Marine, which lost an exterior wall, or the Lambrecht Marina in Macomb County's Harrison Township, where half of the structure was blown away. The storms have also left more than 3,000 customers without power in areas including Fraser, St. Clair Shores, and Harrison Township, underscoring the widespread impact of the storms. Efforts to clean up and restore normalcy are underway, with more than 40,000 customers in Michigan and Ohio still without power. Utility companies, including DTE, are at the forefront of these efforts, working diligently to assess the damage and restore electricity to the affected regions. Meanwhile, in Chicago, severe thunderstorms prompted a tornado watch and severe thunderstorm warnings, affecting flight operations at O'Hare Airport and leading to cancellations and delays. The National Weather Service also issued a flood advisory for the Chicago area, highlighting the multifaceted challenges posed by these severe weather events. Despite the turmoil, a brief respite is expected, with partly sunny conditions forecasted, though the potential for thunderstorms remains as warmer weather approaches. This series of severe weather events underscores the unpredictable nature of storms and the importance of preparedness and swift response in mitigating their impact. As cleanup efforts continue and communities begin to rebuild, the resilience and solidarity among the affected residents and authorities offer a beacon of hope amidst the chaos. In a solemn conclusion to a tragic event, salvage teams have successfully recovered the body of JOSS U00E9 Minor, LU00F3 Pez, the final victim of the Baltimore Bridge collapse on March 26. This marks a significant milestone in the aftermath of the disaster, as efforts shift towards demolition and reconstruction. The collapse not only claimed lives, but also disrupted maritime traffic, prompting an intricate recovery and demolition operation. Demolition crews are now preparing to use explosives to dismantle the remaining span of the bridge. Remarkably, the operation will include keeping the ship Dolly, which was trapped amid the wreckage, on board during the controlled demolition. This step is crucial for resuming normal maritime traffic once the ship is safely removed. The recovery of JOSS U00E9, Minor LU00F3 Pez, brings a somber closure to the search efforts, highlighting the risks and sacrifices of salvage divers. Meanwhile, the National Transportation Safety Board and the FBI are conducting thorough investigations into the cause of the collapse. These investigations are vital for understanding what went wrong and preventing future tragedies. Maryland leaders, under the guidance of Governor Wes Moore, are not only focusing on the immediate recovery, but also on the long-term vision of rebuilding the bridge by fall 2028. The governor is actively seeking federal support, emphasizing the bridge's critical role in the region's traffic system. This disaster has also ignited discussions on infrastructure funding, the construction supply chain, and its broader impact on the economy, signaling a pivotal moment for reflection and action in addressing the nation's infrastructure challenges. As the story develops, plans to replace the bridge with a new one underscore the commitment to not just recovery, but also to resilience and improvement, ensuring such a tragedy does not repeat. In a significant development that underscores the ongoing tensions between the United States and China in the technology sector, Huawei finds itself at a crossroads. The U.S. government's recent decision to revoke export licenses from key suppliers Intel and Qualcomm has dealt a serious blow to the Chinese tech giant's laptop business. Huawei, known for its innovation in the smartphone market with its development of ARM chips, now faces a substantial hurdle. The absence of Intel's latest processors, which are crucial for the performance of Huawei's premium MateBook X Pro laptops, marks a significant setback. This challenge is further compounded by the U.S. government's restrictions on shipping AI chips to China, adding another layer of complexity to Huawei's operational challenges. In response to these restrictions, Huawei may have no choice but to pivot towards developing its own high-silicon laptop chips. However, this move could come at a cost, potentially resulting in slower performance compared to competitors using Intel's processors. Despite these setbacks, Huawei shows resilience, continuing to adapt its strategy in the face of stringent U.S. export controls. This situation not only highlights the ongoing battle for technological supremacy, but also reaffirms the U.S. government's firm stance on curbing China's technological advancements amid security concerns. The enforcement of these policies signals a clear message about the lengths to which the U.S. is willing to go to prevent potential threats and limit China's progress in the tech industry. This has been your daily brief in U.S. news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.